This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling with the band all back together. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Rhodes from ESPN West Palm. And catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. We've got Saturday night's main event coming up this weekend, Royal Rumble the weekend after in Indianapolis. And over on the women's side, a little harder to kind of figure out what's going on, because while the men's side seems to be a star-studded affair where every superstar is declaring left and right on every show, I believe we only have two entrants who have officially declared on the women's side, Nia Jax and Bayley. That's it. That's the list. So a little harder to project, but as we sit here, just a little over a week away from my favorite PLE of the year, who do we think is the favorite to win the Women's Royal Rumble?
Charlotte Flair. Woo! Charlotte Flair making a return, or Becky Lynch making a return. If we don't know immediately off the top who should be the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble, then it says a lot about the field. Sure. So I'm thinking it might be someone out of nowhere that gets number 29 or 30 and they win it. Someone we haven't seen for a while.
So that's the weird thing, is I enjoy when they're not announcing names. Like, I hate the years where you have 28 names in front of you because you're like, oh, well, there's going to be no surprises. But this just feels forgotten about right now. And you look at the betting odds, Charlotte is the favorite 2-1. Tied for second is Becky and Io at 4-1. So you have that. And then after that, Bianca at 9-1, Jade at 10-1. So that's what the betting odds are saying right now. So I agree. I think it'll be someone we haven't seen. But let's put a little bit more into it as opposed to just like, oh, yeah, we have this as well.
Yeah, I mean, on the men's side, it is that, I mean, they're going one direction that I don't think I've ever seen them go, where it's like, I mean, seriously, like, this is the most star-studded, like, list that we've seen going in. And it's a little bit of a different direction. It's the complete opposite on the women's side. While I do fully expect Becky, and there are rumblings that she has signed her contract, and obviously Charlotte is posting on social media pictures of her in the gym, you know, so it looks like she's very close to returning in ring as well. I understand, I guess, if you want to make one of those two the first ever two-time Royal Rumble winner, but like they're both big enough stars. And Charlotte's, what, a 14-time champ at this point? Like, Becky's Becky and has also said that, you know, on the show that she's more interested in telling stories than necessarily chasing championships. So, well, yeah, I guess you could do that. But also, if you want one of those two to have a championship match at WrestleMania, they're Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. They can just kind of challenge because of who they already are. So I'm hoping for somebody maybe we don't expect to you know, kind of suddenly rise. I'm still working through that list of who that could potentially be, because I feel like there are a lot of women right now that would be really good challengers for the new mid-tier titles that they just created. But I don't know if there's anybody outside of people who have already held WWE championships that's ready to ascend to, oh yeah, they're ready for a WrestleMania Women's Championship match.
Well, to that point, you look at the previous six winners, Becky, Charlotte, Bianca, Ronda, Rhea, and then Bayley last year. Those are all names that were already established that did not need the Rumble. Is there a chance that we see someone unexpected? I see it here even in the chat. I was about to say, Jordynne Grace, like, you do debut her there and throw her out there and let her win. Roxanne Perez, I know she's doing stuff with Bayley right now, but is there a way to skyrocket her? Like, this is how you make stars in this match.
Let's have the conversation about how we feel as a show about the women's division in WWE before we even get to a consensus on who should win it. So outside of Tippy Time and Rhea Ripley, how do we feel about, like, the how top-heavy the division is? Talking about the women's division, because, like, I threw out names we haven't seen before, but who's deserving of that next level to be able to vie for one of the two women's championships? How do we feel about the division overall? So I think it's good. I don't think it's great yet. And I think that with NXT and TNA wrestlers coming into the division, I think that can make it even better.
Yeah, I'm at the point, like I said, I don't know if there's a lot of top end talent. I think there are some rising stars, certainly. Like, there are a number of people I could say that anybody really, if you wanted to strap a mini rocket on somebody like Zoe Stark that they have, I don't see her being a Rumble contender. I see her potentially being one of the next U.S. women's champion or the women's intercontinental champion, especially after that brutal missile dropkick on Monday night. But they've done stuff with her before, going back to the Trish Stratus storyline from a couple of years ago that they were hoping would put her over, and then they didn't really do anything with her. But I think somebody like that, somebody even like Dakota Kai, where you see the talent there, but because they haven't done much with it, it just seems like such a leap to go from from where they are right now all the way to a women's championship match, especially now that you have that little bit of a ladder in between with those mid-tier titles. And if you start taking a look at the men's, the people who have won the men's Royal Rumble, Cody, Brock Lesnar, Edge, Drew McIntyre, like, these are all pretty established people too. So does that mean somebody like Nia Jax is going to get her first Rumble win because she has been on such a good run? Again, she just dropped the championship not that long ago, but maybe she gets, another opportunity by winning the Royal Rumble.
But when you list out the men, like Drew, you have to go all the way back to Drew. Like, Drew felt like he wasn't all the way at the top yet, and they sort of pushed him there. To your point, Hood, like, the only people I think of in that division that are credible where you could see them, it would have been Tiffy, but they just put the belt on her with Money in the Bank. The other one I throw out there is Chelsea and what they've put into her and how entertaining she's been. Like, that would be a big moment, and they sort of gave her her moment already. So to answer your question, no, there really isn't that next level right now in the women's division.
You know what? That's actually good. Because now you have reckless speculation on who's going to be next and how Triple H sees the women's division. So that's good that now it's a climb to the top in 2025 on who's going to be able to be that next person. Like, we're happy for Chelsea as a show because she's a homie. It's great that she's there. We're happy for Tippy Time. But, I think that, like our guy, the King Ellie Show, said, we're going to see some talent coming in from TNA and NXT, and that should just start to ruffle some feathers in there, getting some fresh young talent in there. And so now we get some unique matchups, and then maybe someone else will emerge from that.
But if it ends up being Charlotte or Becky, are we getting that?
No, I mean, that's just they don't have to win the championship. But, I mean, here's the thing. Could you put in someone from NXT and say, we're going to go with them? Well, I mean, still, there's still some people that watch NXT, but not the majority.
Sure.
So I just think that someone on top that could be beaten by someone in the middle, now you're elevating them. That's how wrestling goes. Like, you find someone in the middle, you have someone they beat. Like, a Bayley's losing a lot lately.
Yeah.
I just saw Bayley lose again. So at least that person underneath can be able to get over the top against an established veteran, an established talent.
This has... Again, maybe this is just still fearful of old Vince booking. This to me has Charlotte written all over it, and then she goes and challenges the other blonde. You don't need to do that. Like, you could build a different, more interesting story. If that's what you want to do, like Charlotte versus Tiffy at WrestleMania, I think is a good match.
Yeah.
But I think you can do something more interesting than Charlotte wins and then just challenges Tiffy. Right?
But Tiffy has to win that.
But Tiffy wins. That's the whole point of what I'm saying.
Oh, if Tiffy wins that. But still, like, I think that's an interesting matchup, and I think that's, like, I think you could tell an interesting story. But again, Charlotte Flair can just be like, hey, I'm the 14-time women's champ. I'm going after the WWE Women's Championship, right? So so then it's like, okay, well, so in my mind, okay, so then who's Hood started by building, okay, what do we have in the women's division? I'm looking at the women's champions and trying to figure out what makes the most sense for them in terms of their WrestleMania matches. And again, Charlotte makes a ton of sense for Tiffy. I'm not sure who makes sense for Rhea. Like, as much as we have fantasy booked time and time again, Rhea versus Bianca, like, it just, that doesn't seem like, they're both baby faces, right? And it seems like Bianca's going to be tied up in whatever happens with Jade Cargill. I'm assuming she's returning for the Rumble as well at this point. But I don't know. So trying to figure out who faces Rhea, maybe it is somebody like Jordynne Grace because she looks so good. And that, like, well, WWE fans have a little bit of a understanding who she is. She's been in the Rumble before. She's appeared on NXT television. Like, with Mania being so far away and being a couple extra weeks, you would have a better opportunity of, hey, look at how she looks. She's clearly a challenger. She's a former world champion in TNA. And maybe you can just strap the rocket to her that way and tell a story of, hey, this is, she's not some up-and-comer. This is definitely a challenger who can go physically toe-to-toe with Rhea Ripley.
I just think that I think it's a great idea to be able to have a veteran taking on Tiffy and then Tiffany winning. And so now, not only is she the champion, now she's made because she beat somebody. I think that makes all the sense in the world. Charlotte could come back and everyone would be wild that she's back and healthy, but she could also lose at WrestleMania. And I just think that that would be just a great athletic contest because both of them can do handsprings and right. Do so many great things. So to have Tiffy match Charlotte for athleticism, I think that'd be very interesting.
I would be intrigued. I see, you know, some EO in the comments here. And then Jade also. You mentioned Jade coming back. We still have to pay off the Bianca thing, but Jade winning, and I know, you know, last year it was a big moment. It was her debut. That would be quite a moment if Jade came back and won it.
Yeah, but I guess I'm at this point assuming Jade's coming back and is going to be eliminated by whomever attacked her. Right? Like, she's been off for so long, and they've dragged this storyline out far enough where it's been a big deal, right? Like,
yeah,
you go back to the photos and the videos of Jade Cargill, she was left for dead. Right? Like, she was just left for dead. So that, to me, if you're dragging it out this long, like, Jade getting her revenge is only suitable at WrestleMania.
Sure.
So yeah. That's why I kind of say I don't think Jade is going to be in a WrestleMania Women's Championship match.
So I want to make sure that I acknowledge Ray Ray's talking about EO, because I saw Raw in Dallas, and I saw that sign, like, that EO Sky, you know, give her a push and she should have a run as champion again. People like her for athleticism.
Yeah.
And again, her run's fine. Her run was fine, but I just think people are just enamored by who she is, you know, what she could do in the ring. So, I mean, she's always a dark horse and they can always ring that bell again with making her champion. But yeah, I like her a lot too.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are options also. I mean, Alexa's on this list at 20-1. So, and again, someone coming back. Like, the not announcing names, they're getting in that dangerous category where you're almost setting up like, oh, well, we're going to get surprises then, and we're going to get returns, to where if we don't get those surprises and returns, it feels like a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, because again, like you said, there's only two. Like, on the men's side, I'm not really expecting many surprises at this point. Like, and I don't think it necessarily needs it, because you've taken all of your biggest superstars and you've thrown it into the Royal Rumble. So it's like, hey, I don't need the surprises. I'm cool with everything, because so many things are intertwining and intermixing over on the men's scene. Like, so many different things are interesting. I'm sure we'll get somebody that'll be, sure, you know, some legend that's going to get thrown over the, you know, the top rope relatively
JBL
quickly.
Will end up in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Somebody like that, you know, that makes perfect sense. He clotheslines a couple of people,
yeah,
you know, sends somebody over the top rope and then he gets eliminated by, I don't know, CM Punk. Who cares? But on the women's side, yeah, it's like you're building up and it's almost like they don't know, which right, adds to the excitement of, okay, who the hell could we potentially see here?
Yeah, I like the mystery of it. And they got so much room to grow even more so. I think they've got an opportunity here to really thrive. I'm fascinated by the relationship between TNA and WWE, because TNA's got their share too. Elaine, Amasa Slamovich, Rosemary, who's nuts. You can put them in the mix, and all of a sudden now it's just a little bit different. So I expect some surprises on the women's side. Now that they had that relationship, and also the Forbidden Doors open in WWE, don't be surprised. It won't be just, I don't think it's just WWE people. I think it's people outside of the company that could be in that rumble. And by the way, because wrestling is so hot now, people will not be taken aback by saying, who is this?
Right.
They'll know who it is if it's a budding star.
Yeah, I guess I'm expecting maybe one other person from TNA. You know, again, Jordan Grace at this point, I think we all assume is a WWE superstar. But I guess the way I read the press release is that was more of an NXT TNA relationship, and they're not going to be featuring a lot of TNA superstars on Raw and SmackDown. And yeah, okay, sprinkle one of them into the Women's Royal Rumble, but I think they're better served trying to figure out how to elevate their own talent that they're going to be featuring more often.
Well, I'm curious to see the NXT talent, like the Stephanie McCour, the Julias, that are established stars that are doing their NXT time right now. Do you roll them out there this year, or do you wait and make that more special next year?
Don't be a coward. Put in Tessa Blanchard. You want? Hey, if you already got Hogan out there, why not Tessa?
have Hogan escorted to the ring? Just get nuclear heat?
They could ride the little roller ring down also as the garbage throws on them.
Oh, like old school WrestleMania, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her and Hogan in one of those, there'd be some heat there.
Hey, don't be a coward. Do it. Let's see what happens. You want to get a reaction? Bring her down, because at Genesis, nothing like a good old "she's a racist" chant.
I can't imagine that's a chant they want on Peacock.
Oh, man.
Oh, they still might. They still might run Hulk Hogan out there on Saturday Night's main event this week. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do with the racists that they're currently dealing with? And it's sad that I have to say that. It's plural. It's
lovely, plural. Yeah, uh-huh.
In the year of our Lord 2025. All right. That's coming up in just a few days. We've got other things we want to talk about, Brian. It's called The Three Count, other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. What do we have at number one?
All right, let's move over to the world. AEW, Wade Keller, PW Torch reporting. Tony Khan is done with the booking of Britt Baker. So we'll go big picture here. Who's the biggest missed talent in AEW?
Well, before, I mean, I think this answer is obvious, but it's just so hard. You've never had any idea how to believe any of this, right? Because there just seems to be, I mean, how much of the talent is trying to take advantage of Tony? How much are they being misused by Tony? How much are they refusing to do jobs? Because whoever you look at right now, whether it's Britt, whether it's Ricky Starks, and I think there was a report about him asking for his release this week, and Miro, and all these other talents that have, you know, that have been there and have either left or have figured it out. It's so hard to kind of pin down exactly what's going on. So it's tough to dive into that. And then Conan stepped into it with some allegations that he put out there that we're not going to dive into here, because that has nothing to do with anything. Like, I don't know what to make of this situation. The only thing I know is that I like Britt Baker. I wish I saw her on my television more.
I wish Britt Baker would like to be on TV more.
Sure.
That's what I wish. I wish that Britt Baker wasn't such a pain in the ass behind the scenes, as people tell me. I wish. But it's not working out now. So I wrote down names that you just mentioned, Gabe. I mentioned Ricky Starks at the top. I saw Ricky Starks at House of Glory on Friday on an indie show in Chicago. And Ricky Starks is over. He signed autographs. He was very affable to the fans. I mean, to me, for him to be sitting on ice, that's just ridiculous. Out of all things, so you give more time to Christopher Daniels and Jeff Jarrett, but you don't give time to Ricky Starks. And our buddy Miro, same thing. For him to just sit, so there's nothing for Miro to do, you're right? So nothing. So to me, I just think that we know it's an arms race. We know AEW want to poach as much talent as possible just because WWE wanted them. Right. So if you want to have that talent, that's fine. But to have that talent sitting on the shelf and you have nothing for them creatively, this is why people are backing off of AEW, because this is what WWE was for a long time. Oh, my favorites don't get a chance to wrestle, or they lose all the time. Creative has nothing for them. Okay, I'll go someplace else. And the other place that they go is AEW, and the same thing happens. Why do you think that there's a renaissance of WWE fans? Because the same thing they went through with WWE is happening in AEW, and now people are jumping back.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, you mentioned Jeff Jarrett. We could do that exact same storyline, but take out Jarrett, put in Starks, and we look at it completely differently.
Yes.
Like, if it's Ricky Starks versus Claudio next week, and if Ricky wins, he gets the title shot, we're into that. If it's Ricky and MJF doing stuff in the ring, we're into that. But we have Jeff Jarrett out there. We have the Rock and Roll Express in the main event spot last night getting laid out. Like, what are we doing?
But again, how much of this is talent doesn't want to? Because there's reports on all of them, right? Like, there's so many, like, rumors and reports. Like, yes. I don't know who necessarily to believe. Jay Hood, I know you're way more connected than we are. But, mm-hmm. like, I mean, if you stay on the internet long enough, it's like, oh, well, Starks doesn't want to do a job. But no, he will. He actually just wants to be there. And it's so much a back and forth on both sides. I'm sure the truth lands somewhere in the middle. But that's the frustrating part, is that, like, I have no idea, like, who to be upset about. And that, by the way, then it's like, well, once Starks, Malachi Black, and Miro, once their contracts are done, they're going to WWE. The hell all of them are. Like, WWE doesn't have room for everybody, man. Like, Miro and Malachi left WWE because they were being overlooked to begin with. And now that roster's just gotten even better. Like, where are you finding time to highlight all of these people? Like, it just,
there's a speed title tournament for those guys.
Oh, God, that's going to be Penta. I hope to God that's not where Penta ends up. Jeez and crow, man. Like,
that's
I'm
where
hoping
your boy Ray's going to end up. Penta's pretty hot right now. Ray Phoenix, on the other hand. Oh, God, I hope he can do his stuff in 3 minutes.
I'll fight. Well, I mean, you know he can. Yeah, you fair, know yeah. damn well he can. And if that's where Ray ends up, I'm me and Triple H are going to have fisticuffs. I'm going to get my ass kicked, but yeah. I'll stand up for my guy.
The other name I throw out there, because he goes in that boat of, like, the super hot and then he goes away, he's like, does Wardlow still work there?
Yes.
Because I've seen him advertised for an indie show Mania Week already, so Ooh. He's healthy enough for April, but he got a haircut on TV and then that was it?
No, he still works for the company.
All right, that's good.
So another guy that's just sitting out and can't find anything for him. So start and stop with him. Had Goldberg-like chance, yes. but yet you can't find time for him on TV. So, again, there's a lot of issues with this company, a lot of issues. But I would agree, Gabe, with you that where we are in 2025, we're good. Because those names that are not wrestling on AEW don't necessarily have to go to WWE. Mm-hmm. Because now you go back to the old days of you got a stacked roster and some of your favorites from AEW or from the indies, now they don't get TV time. Keep it level the way it is. TNA over here, NXT, WWE, AEW, indies, NWA, whatever, MLW. Spread out the talent so we can all enjoy them. You know, so, I got no problem with that.
Tom Pestock, and now I'm blanking on the name, he's going to be going on going forward, the wrestler formerly known yeah. as Baron Corbin, said he's not really interested in AEW because, you know, they've built something over there. He doesn't want to, like, go in there, just be this former WWE guy who ended up in AEW. So he wants to maybe go to Japan for an entire year. TNA's reached out to him. He can go and do indie shows. And I think all these different wrestlers can do that if they're interested in being on the indies. I mean, it's what, you know, the lineage is obviously Cody and the Young Bucks and everything that they did before they started AEW. Matt Cardona has kind of continued that in more of the recent years, ever since everything's been established. But wrestling being so hot, like, those names don't have to go to WWE. People are just going to be forgotten about in WWE too. It's just that roster is pretty loaded. But in terms of the biggest missed talent in AEW, I mean, the answer is simple. It's CM Punk. Mm. And even though he was featured, even though he was a former champion, like, they botched the whole thing. And honestly, that's kind of what started. I mean, WWE really started to pick up right around the time CM Punk showed. I mean, they were the arrow was pointing up already for WWE when Punk showed up. But it's continued to climb up, and AEW has had a real hard time catching up because Punk was their biggest star.
And that's true.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, it's a good point to your point earlier about how you don't know what to believe, because all this falls on Tony. Everyone's like, oh, Tony's misusing it. But we know who CM Punk is, and, well, he's sort of an ass backstage. So, like, you blame AEW, but also he's at fault, and, like, the adult in the room aspect just comes back to bite them in the ass in that situation.
It is, in a sports metaphor, giving a player too much autonomy. Mm-hmm. We see this in the NBA all the time. Mm-hmm. NFL guys want to be that, too. They want to be able to rule over the coach and do what they want to do, like where you are right now. Bro, it's with Jimmy Butler in the Miami area. The idea that you could just go and come when you please, you're missing flights. And so, you know, that's, again, when you have good management, you tamp that down. You're like, you know, you're not allowed to do that. But when AEW, when the boss wants to be the friend and the talent wants to do whatever they want to do, coming in and out. So here's something weird, just as an aside. Why is it that in AEW, for a Wednesday night Dynamite, talent misses their flight. Why does that happen? Aren't you flying Monday to get there at least by Tuesday morning? But that never happens. But it rarely happens. No, Gabe. It rarely happens in WWE. The idea, I know that the whole country is like frozen over for the most part, but the idea that these people from Florida can't get to Knoxville, Tennessee, it happened Wednesday night. That's a problem.
I mean, sure. But like, I guess I'm willing to look past this when the team, they just had to push the Bucks game tonight here in Milwaukee back an hour because the Bucks couldn't get out of New Orleans. Like, they had a game canceled. They couldn't fly out until today. Like, they tried to fly down early to get out ahead of everything. Like, and look, when you get snow in the South, like, they don't have infrastructure. They don't have snow plows or salt or any of the things we have up here in Milwaukee, like, or in Chicago. Like, they're not ready for that. Like, they just have to pretty much, like, in New Orleans, they're just waiting for the 10 inches to melt, I think. Like, I don't know what else they do. Do they have shovels? I have no idea. But, like, when snow hits an area that doesn't typically, and I see things like an NBA team literally cannot get out of a city, and they were talking about canceling a game in Milwaukee because they couldn't get out. Like, yeah, Samoa Joe. And look, because one of those talents that couldn't get there was Samoa Joe. And I have never, ever heard anything like, oh, Samoa Joe's unprofessional. Like that, there's never been any whispers of that. So has that happened before in AEW? Yes. I think I'm willing to look past anybody who couldn't get there this week because like it was such
a shame. Never happens in WWE, hardly. They find a way to get a jet or whatever it is to get the talent there.
But it has happened in WWE before. Like they also had a plane hijacked in Saudi Arabia. So
well, that's a Vince thing, not a talent thing.
I would like to see the airport agent that had to tell Samoa Joe that his flight was canceled. Imagine that was an easy conversation.
Oh, they got choked out. Yeah, no. Yeah. Cooking a clutch and, you know, then Joe went about his day. Although, one last thing. I don't know if you guys happened to see this from Scott Van Pelt. He was telling the story on his podcast of how he, like, because he was in Atlanta trying to get out, and that was a bleep show after the national championship game. And basically talking about how he was in the corner after, like, he missed his flight because he couldn't get through, and he's trying to figure out how to get out, and he's number 51 in line to try to, like, figure out what to do next, and he's basically in the fetal position in a corner, and he's telling the story on his podcast, and then somebody just had randomly taken the picture and tweeted at him today. So there's just Scott Van Pelt in the corner on the floor of the Atlanta airport, basically in the
fetal position. It happens to everyone.
It has been a rough week for travel.
I've been at the airport. I've also been in that same position. I know what he's going through. Nothing like three gate changes in the same day. It's a mess there, brother. It's a mess. But, I mean, you know, I'm glad we talked about this as far as the missed talent is concerned, because we can go an hour on it, because there's about 10 talents that we could say this has been a mistake. But just understand where we are right now. And this is, as a show, we got to talk about this, I think, at some point. Look at your champions. Look at your champions. Look at how many champions are former WWE talent. Now, again, you got to build your roster on some former WWE talent. But, I mean, putting them over, outside of Okada and Garcia and Takeshita and Mariah May, everyone else are WWE people. The idea that the Hurt Syndicate wins that quickly over homegrown talent like Private Party, they're not over. Don't get me wrong. They're not over. But the point is that for the Hurt Syndicate to win like that, crushing those kids, is that good for business? Is it really good for business to do that? I mean, so that, in other words, your homegrown AEW talent ain't shit. So you squash them like a preliminary match.
Well, they're getting over in the Death Rider story. Hello?
You deserve that silence.
Where's the lie?
Well, speaking of the tag title match, we did see it last night. The Hurt Syndicate, the new tag team champions. What was your biggest takeaway from the AEW tag title change?
Well, you started talking about it, Jay Hood. So I guess my response to that is that good for business? I mean, it can't be worse than whatever Private Party was doing.
No, that's not right. That's not right, Gabe. Look, I wouldn't have given Private Party the tag team championships. It's almost like,
well, but they were going to break up if they didn't win.
Yeah.
But that's the issue. That should have been such a moment. Like, going back to that first Dynamite, they beat the Bucks. Like, they were getting over. Then we forget about them. Them winning should have been such a moment. And then we just sort of forgot about it. And it's like, oh, crap, they still have the belts. Like, all right, you got to drop them tonight.
That's so bad. If you're trying to say we're all elite wrestling and we're different than the competition, we're the challenger brand. You know what Tony Khan said? Oh my God, I got WWE guys. I got to put titles on them. I mean, listen, and again, I want to make sure it's clear. Private Party, I've told you guys, I don't get it. I understand the gimmick, but when they take a microphone, it doesn't convince me. It doesn't move me. It doesn't make me, I want them to win or lose. It's indifference, which is the worst, right? But the way they got crushed, the way they got smashed, not just on Wednesday, but the week before in that six man, where MVP is wrestling. Hold on a second. MVP hasn't wrestled in years. All of a sudden, wrestling like he's been there every week. That also was bullshit. Because if you're a manager, you're supposed to wrestle like a manager. He's doing balling like it's 2007 against those kids. And they crushed him in the six-man. So from a wrestling standpoint, from a story standpoint, it was terrible. It was bad for Private Party. And for these two to be tag team champions, like they need titles to get over. What is that proof?
But I think that's the point, like, in showing the shift in AEW. I remember when they announced they signed Private Party. I had no idea who they were. And they were doing those little, like, hey, so-and-so is All Elite during BTEs. And showing some clips of them and seeing that Gin and Juice finisher, I'm like, oh, these guys are pretty cool. And then we got the Bucks match, and it was going to be about wrestling. And they got over that way, and then they tried to do too much. And like you said, they give them a microphone, and that's where we are today. And that's the issue.
Well, again, like the best they've probably been, because they can go. Like I don't think you can be in AEW if you can't, right? So it's hard to separate yourself that way now.
This guy's named Peter Avalon.
I was thinking of what name to throw out there. No one came to mind.
Peter.
Peter Avalon's not there anymore. Come on, man.
Jeff Jarrett.
the librarian. Yeah, okay. All right, Jeff Jarrett. Fair enough. But for the most part, I would say, like, you have to be able to go in the ring. And that's the one thing because they sold their asses off last night, too. Like, they sold like the rent was due. And it was, you know, they did a great job, I think, of putting over the Hurt Syndicate. But, yeah, like, the best stuff they did with the microphone was probably when they were with Matt Hardy.
I think that's right. But then, like,
that's not good for anyone, right?
So I just think that, you know, when we look at this roster and how many WWE talents are on there, I know it was, oh, you got to give Sasha Banks a chance. And now it's so funny. If you look through her mentions, it's like Mercedes Moné, you know, I got all these championships. And someone in their messages will be, I wish you were back in WWE. I miss Sasha Banks. Well, you can't miss me. I'm right here. I'm still wrestling. I just have a different name. But to the wrestling fan, some, they're like, wait, I miss you. Where have you been? I'm on TBS every week. What do you mean? The weird wrestling fan, right? But then John Moxley on the top. We like Moxley. I know, Gabe, you're a big Moxley guy. I got no problem with him being champion, but I'm just saying that a lot of the champions now are WWE guys. Instead of really pushing Garcia to the top or Takeshi to the top or Ospreay, hopefully that'll be the case in 2025.
Well, the other thing also from the title change, I heard you guys talk last week about the AEW issues and the word continuity. Private Party was part of the Death Rider thing, and they were the guys that were underachieving. And I remember when the storyline started, we talked about, well, they're positioning all these young guys. They're going to end up as the champions, all these faces, the Garcias, the Private Party, so it'll work out. But now they're just not a part of that story anymore. Like, they're not trying to save AEW. They're not trying to do stuff with the Death Riders. They're just doing their own thing, and therefore they didn't get over from this as well. Like, they might as well have been swimming nunchucks like Johnny Silver. Like, at this point, like, what was the point of that early involvement to get here to then be misused?
Yeah, well, again, I think that's just the whole botching of the Death Riders thing, because the Death Riders thing had so much potential, and again, they ended up in a six-man tag with something they should be trying to kill in the Learning Tree. So, you know, like, that's... Like, the Learning Tree, honestly, should be number one with the bleeping bullet of if you want to change things in AEW. Like, that should be the first thing Mox is trying to kill. Just choking out every last one of those SOBs. And we're not, instead, they're tagging together. So, as much as it pains me to say, I can't wait for the belt to be off of Mox because the whole thing's just not
working. And then put the title on whom would you like?
Honestly, put it on Cope. I mean, because that's clearly the next challenger, right? That's clearly the next challenger. Like, Cope can hold on to it for a little bit. I don't care. Like, because you can't have Mox be holding on to this thing all the way to July. I know,
like, that doesn't quite solve the whole younger talent thing. Cope doesn't exactly fall under there.
Sure, but like...
And I agree, like, Darby's busy climbing Everest, so you can't put it on him right now. Like, do you put it on Morton, Hood? Will that get you going?
On who?
Ricky Morton. Or Gibson. Either of them. Give him a run.
Well, Ricky Morton's been waiting for that title shot against Flair. You might as well while he's there.
Yeah.
Put it on Ricky Morton. He's great with the Canadian Destroyer, you know.
He hit one on his son at an indie show this weekend, so no one's safe.
I saw that. Ricky Morton. I just... You know what? You don't want to hear it. But by the time we get to Dallas, guys, I think that that's when Moxley will drop it, because there's nobody on the top right now. I mean, the answer is Will Ospreay. I just don't know the path. Like, he's got to get there. The answer is Will Ospreay. That's because he's got the fill-in bruv.
But he's busy.
He gets a lot of reaction.
He's busy doing other stuff right now.
Yeah, I mean, he did tease it, you know, saying, hey, I've been trying to get over to the world championship, and every time I do, that was part of his promo last night when he was with Kenny in the ring.
Yeah, there's no one right now, and like, that's the issue.
Hey, I'm cool with this suggestion down low. Like, just we got to get it off Mox and end the Death Riders. Like, it's not going to be pretty, sure. It doesn't solve the young talent thing, sure, but like, we got to do something else. And I hate that I say that, because I had such high hopes for this freaking thing, and I love Mox so much, and even he still cuts like good promos with it, but then they just don't let him do anything.
The other
cool.
thing also, he just like ends in up terms being... of the pay-per-views, like Revolution's not till March. We're still in January.
Yep.
So we're a little bit away.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, but we've got the... I mean, what? I guess, you know, Australian Battle of the Belts.
18-hour time delay.
Also known as Grand
Slam. Is that where we're going to get the title change?
That's so disrespectful. It's so disrespectful.
What? What? Nope. Was I wrong?
It's A, funny. B, disrespectful. Australian Battle of the Belts.
I thought that's what they were calling it. I must have missed some Excalibur last night. That's on me. I'll wear it.
They could have accidentally announced that. They've done that a couple times. Like, what time the show's going to air? They accidentally announced that. So maybe that's how they did it, and that's where Gabe saw it.
It's hilarious to me, because they keep saying it's on the weekend of All-Star Weekend for the NBA, and I'm like, what time? That can't be on TNT. You know, that's not going to happen. So.
Oh, no, but it is on TNT. It's after the three-point contest.
Okay, that's so stupid.
I think they didn't get the memo that it was All-Star Weekend. So, you know, they have trouble with the schedule sometime. We've seen that with booking.
I was about to say, we are very aware that they don't own a calendar. So
we've
covered this in length.
Brian Rowis is the first one to mention AEW does not have a sports calendar in front of
them. Right, a little pocket one. You get it at the bank or something?
Yes. Oh, by the way. Gabe Neitzel, because we got the AEW schedule through the spring, so are the Bucks playing when Collision comes to Panther Arena in Milwaukee?
Ooh, I did not look at that date.
We'll have the cross-checker take a look.
We can get back to that.
So just very briefly, guys, very briefly, I just want to bring some of my Sunday morning Busted Open show to GKW. Just like when I bring GKW to Busted Open. So here it is, real quickly. We did a segment on how many factions should be dismantled in AEW. You'd be amazed at how many factions are in this company. So I just want you to give me a raise of hand, the heel that should be, the faction that should be dismantled in AEW. I'll go to the heels first. So the Death Riders. Dismantled? Okay. Don Callis family. Probably the strongest you have.
Callis family can stick.
Okay. The Hurt Syndicate.
They're working?
Okay. Whatever the elite is these days.
Does that exist?
Yeah, I don't even think that exists.
It's still official on the website. So okay. All right, so...
All right. Well, I mean, I think they're basically disbanded anyway.
Because Okada's doing his thing, and we haven't seen Jack Perry in a while. So, Learning Tree dismantled.
Yep.
Okay. The Patriarchy
blasted into the sun.
The Patriarchy.
Yes, they don't need each other.
I'm good with the Patriarchy.
Oh, you're good with it. And Brian, you say,
yeah, we don't need it. No one needs that.
Okay, and the Death Riders, that's at the top of the heel faction. And we're good with keeping them together?
No, get rid of them.
Gone. Okay, both. Faces. Undisputed Kingdom. Dismantled?
Yes.
Yes. Too many baby faces, and they got nothing to do. They're just hanging out. Bunch of jerks hanging out with each other. That's it.
Is that all of them, technically? Like, is that five people? I don't even know what's in it. Okay.
Yes, five people. All five baby faces.
Yeah, since Kyle O'Reilly joined, yeah.
Rated FTR. That's a faction.
I don't think we need that.
Okay.
And FTR is duct taped to a chair, so they're gone.
They got merch and stuff, and they're always together. So that's a thing. That's a faction. So disbanded, right?
Yeah.
How about the faction of Shibata, Samoa Joe, and Hook? Still a thing. Disbanded, right?
Yes.
The Conglomeration.
I thought that was a conglomeration.
there's other parts of that.
No, we can blow that thing up,
bang,
too.
Bang, gang.
Golly.
They're baby faces?
Well, you've seen Jay White.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But Juice, is everyone hurt?
I mean, but Juice
is a baby face.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's just Jay White. Yeah, we're the guns.
I don't know where the guns are. I don't know where they are, but I mean, that's, you see how they change. They did become baby face. I mean, Jay White's getting baby face reaction. So that dismantled that too, right?
Yeah.
So that, I think that leaves us down to like three, and that's fine. Three's fine. I just named for you like 11. That's the problem in this company. Like, we understand that in offices and in sports there's clicks, but not to the point where that's all you have on the show. All it is clicks.
So we had a comment on the page this week. He said, I have something you guys might be interested in. AEW is settling into factions. They might as well consider a full-blown league presentation. Would that make it better?
Well, when they first started, what did they say? Is AEW a new league of wrestling?
Right.
When they first opened, that's what they were. The new wrestling league, they said.
Maybe they do it that way.
I want to know what Brian's issue with the Patriarchy is.
We've seen it. Like, I don't know.
It's because Nick Wayne isn't over.
Yes, that too.
That's the other thing, because they don't give him a chance to show what he can do as a young face.
Yeah, but his mom's over. Like, again, you would boo a mother thing is fantastic.
Also, the schedule thing, I'm guessing it was an accident, but Brewers are out of town, so that's a win, and the Bucks are off that Saturday. They play Friday, Sunday.
Bucks play Friday and Sunday. They missed the Saturday.
Yay!
I mean, guessing there might be something else at Fiserv, but we'll figure it out.
So, I mean, so you talk about issues with AEW. We just went through that heel face faction thing. It's just, the whole reason why you have a faction is because someone's supposed to spin out and be a champion and be a singles, kind of like Rock of the Nation of Domination. This, it's tough.
Yes.
Kid Rock's playing Fiserv Forum on the 29th.
Well, knew it was something every time.
All right, moving on to the three count. Kevin Owens a little week away from the ladder match for the Undisputed title against Cody. We've talked a lot about WrestleMania paths. What is Kevin Owens' WrestleMania path?
God, it better be winning that WWE championship. Oh, man, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for KO to win that. I doubt it happens because Cody's got to be champion going into Mania. But, man, KO, the work he did with Sammy in that promo, like came out, it's like, no, man, I get it. I've done bad things to you, too. You've got history with him. You forgave him. You've forgiven me. That was just a masterclass. And am I taking crazy pills? So maybe I am. Maybe I've just been doing too much and I've lost track of what's going on SmackDown. But didn't Cody just wrestle a tag match with Jimmy Uso? Like, didn't that just happen, like, not that long ago? And now this week he's finally getting cleared for action? Didn't I just see him in action? Like, am I taking crazy pills? Like, this has happened, right? He did tag with Jimmy, and he left Jimmy high and dry because he said he was going to attack Kevin Owens on site, and he left because KO came out. Like, that happened, right?
They also don't hide all the house shows that he's wrestling KO at, like, over the last month or so. Like, I saw him with my own two eyes, like, in Miami. I saw him there.
How did he finally, like, oh, yeah, finally got a clean bill of health? What the hell were you doing wrestling 2 weeks ago on my television? Like, you hadn't been what? What are we doing? How have we botched that?
That's some Shawn Michaels writing right there. Oh, man. Some confusing Shawn Michaels pretzel logic booking right there. I don't know why they did it that way. You know, you are not taking crazy pills. You are correct.
Okay, yes. That did happen. All right. Yes, I just wanted to make sure.
You are correct.
Because usually they're buttoned up on that, and they have not been when it comes to him and his health. And, like, I'm just very much on the team. Kevin is right. Cody did something that betrayed a friend, and he should apologize to his friend. Instead, he got package pile driver that he deserved.
Don't give the WWE ideas an I apologize match. Do you apologize? No!
That's a Russo match idea, I feel like.
Do you say you're sorry? No! No! Get the F out of here, ref! No! So it's a great question, but here's what's great about WWE in that regard. Kevin Owens, we feel he should have been champion by now. Should have happened at Saturday Night's Main Event. You want to do something special? Boom, make him champion. So now we come to the Royal Rumble, and we get the signing this Saturday on Saturday Night's Main Event from San Antonio. So Kevin Owens wins the championship. So is the rematch at Elimination Chamber? Is it at WrestleMania? See, I like to see how these dominoes fall. As we do this, it's January 23rd. And we're trying to figure out what's the main events, like how the Bloodline and The Rock and Roman Reigns, how are they involved in any of this? Because the championship now centered on Cody versus Owens. Mm-hmm. So does Kevin win at the Rumble? He should have been champion by now anyway. I don't know.
I know, Brian, you said you didn't fall for it on social media, but I know deep down in your soul, you got real excited for the possibility of a Sammy winning the Rumble, KO winning the ladder match, and then we get Sammy versus KO main event.
I am trying so damn hard not to get my hopes up for that one. But like, if you just let those two loose for the title, best Mania ever. I don't care what else you put on the show at that point.
Best Mania ever. Did you hear what he said? on an open microphone, he just said that. Open mic.
Get out of the way, Savage and Steamboat, Michaels and Austin,
all right, that's
the Bellas and whoever, everyone all out right. of the way.
That's enough.
KO and Sammy.
Okay, we're trying to keep a reputation on this show. Don't be coming in with that.
I'm just that's saying. Nonsense.
I tell you what, great job by Kevin Owens gaslighting his friend.
Yes.
Sami Zayn's the most gullible character in the history of the business. He believed what Kevin said. It was a compelling thought by Kevin. But Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn. Is that the best you could do right now?
Did Kevin really gaslight him, or was he just right? Kevin's just on a hot streak right now. I think Kevin was right. Sammy's got to start helping himself.
Yeah, and but that's the same with KO. Like, I'd say he's the most compelling heel in the company right now.
I would say it's Drew McIntyre, but he's on a Hangman Page heater right now, losing a lot of matches.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing about this. Like, there are so many ways for KO to go. Yes, my ultimate dream is KO Sammy. KO Cody round three would work at Mania. Like, KO ducks him. Maybe Cody has to win the Elimination Chamber, and he wins it, and then you do KO round three there. I'm fine with that. The Orton one, like, that's the ultimate blow-off at this point. KO Orton for the title and Orton winning another title at Mania. Hell, I'd even say at this point, a KO Cena I could be talked into.
But here's the problem. Like, the problem is to me, like, and no offense to Gunther and the work that he's done, because I enjoyed that promo with him and Jay on Monday as well. I thought that was a good back and forth. If you win the Royal Rumble, how are you not challenging the WWE champion? Like, right? Like, if you win the Rumble, like, you're challenging the WWE champion. That is the title. They built it up. It was on Roman. It's been on Cody. Like, that's the title in the company. And that's the ticket to the main event of WrestleMania, is challenging for that championship. So if it's Cody, like, so, and again, that factors into, okay, who do I think is going to win the Royal Rumble? It's all really compelling. It's all really interesting stuff. And that's where I don't know. And that's what makes this Royal Rumble, despite it being so star-studded, so exciting for me, because we kind of thought that Cody was going to win it 2 years ago. I was dreading that Cody was going to win it again last year. Wasn't really a big fan of that. And they turned it into something very good, but they kind of botched the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that can be denied at this point, but trying to figure out who's going to win and then challenge for that championship. Like, if KO wins, like, Sammy's in play.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sammy's in play. If KO wins, if Cody wins, then Sammy's not in play. Like, they could Punk win it? I mean, I don't think Roman wins it, because I don't think we do that 3 years in a row.
But you can't tell me KO versus Punk for 2 months and then get you excited.
That'd be really...
That'd
be really good. It'd be really good, but usually at this point there are breadcrumbs where I can at least connect the dots to, oh, this is how I get from CM Punk to Kevin Owens. But maybe you don't need that. I don't know.
See, here's what's happening on a Triple H. He'll do that slow burn with the Bloodline week to week, but this whole thing that he's doing with the world title, the Undisputed Championship, it's the FBI wall with the string.
Right.
Like, there's 18 faces on the wall, right? And you have to be able to connect the dots of, like, Cody here, KO, KO Punk, Punk McIntyre. And he's just got all these strings connected to these faces. And I think it's interesting. So do we say as a show that before WrestleMania, the Undisputed Championship will be off of Cody?
I think so.
And that's at the Rumble.
Because I'll take it a step further. You talk about the breadcrumbs. KO wins it next week at the Rumble. Cody ends up in the Rumble. And then whoever eliminates him sets up his Mania program. Because ovation. Like, you don't know Cody's in the Rumble. He comes out.
I mean, if you wanted to swerve it, like, you could still do Cody versus Rock for the People's Championship.
Sure. That's a good point. I guess what we're saying is that the Bloodline is only have one of the main events at WrestleMania, not both, correct? Like last year?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, the only way you end up having both is if Rock eliminates Cody and then they have their match night one, and then you have the WWE Championship with Roman involved in night two.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, they got it set up like through SummerSlam. They know exactly where they're going. I just don't know what the direction is, which is great.
It's great. Fantastic. That we don't
know. Yeah. My issue, though, is if KO doesn't win next week, I feel like he's sort of directionless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he loses a lot of steam. Like you mentioned, the way Drew is right now, losing every week. Like,
but Drew is still compelling because he's roasting people on social media. Like, he's still doing his thing. Like, but that's not KO's thing, right? Like, right. KO needs that TV time. Like, KO needs a big win. Like, mm-hmm. He needs this win. Especially because we got the tease of he pinned Cody. The ref wasn't there to count 1, 2, 3, but he pinned Cody. Yeah.
So, Rick Gonzalez, by the way, weighs in as you listen to the podcast on YouTube. He says he's tired of Cody. He does nothing for me. Well, you can blame creative for that, because this run here has just been kind of scattershot. You know, handing KO a title shot here, AJ Styles there. It just, I mean, when Cody's fired up and he's focused, it's a great program. The stuff with the Bloodline is a great program. But this title, the reason why he still stays champion is because he's one of the top guys in merch, if not the top guy in merchandise. He's a babyface. He has a Cena run. He's doing everything. Signing the autographs, spending time with kids. So he's doing the Cena tour. And so him on top matters to this company, especially to TKO.
God, what if Sammy helps Cody? What if Sammy helps KO? Like, he's been trying, like, he tried to help Seth, but he's still going to help. Like, what if Sammy helps KO? I think that's on the table.
And also, there are so many paths. Like, you mentioned all these big names in the Rumble. Most of them are faces.
That's correct.
So like Sammy versus Cody, Rollins versus Cody, Punk versus Cody, those don't really work. You almost need a heel champion.
I mean, that's right. And that's where Randy Orton comes in.
Right.
Yeah. A healthy Orton, who's probably healthy right now, just waiting. Waiting for his opportunity. There it is. There it is. And that, and that's part of the WWE's youth movement. Randy Orton.
He is younger than Jarrett, right? Is
that youth, true? Yeah, youth. They don't really have a lot of youth on that side. Yeah, Jarrett's 57.
Randy's only 44. Good for him.
Now, I want you to just think now. They're pushing Jeff Jarrett for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Jeff Jarrett is a year older than Mike Tyson? How'd that work out when we saw Tyson in the ring?
Well, I'm hoping that Claudio just beats him and that kind of ends everything, but I don't think we're going to be that lucky.
No, unfortunately, he's got to have his run, buddy.
Claudio doesn't win matches.
I mean, he doesn't have to have his run. Let's get something perfectly clear.
Good
he doesn't
point.
Have
Very
to have the run. Is he going to get the run? Yes, but it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, in AEW, he's got to have his run. Got to have it. By the way, when's the last time that you called a woman a call girl? Go ahead.
I mean, 1984, before I was born.
Karen doesn't like seeing that side of him. We learned that last night.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, okay, so you want MJF to run you down and call you those names. So he shouldn't defend your honor. So stupidly written. So dumb. She's a heel, too. Like, all of a sudden, she doesn't like the idea of Jeff Jarrett using that language against great. The Joel Osteen family doesn't want to hear that language.
Yep.
What do we got in news and notes this week?
All right, we mentioned it coming up Saturday night from San Antonio on NBC. It is Saturday night's main event, world title Gunther versus Jey Uso. Braun Breaker defends the IC title against Sheamus. Braun Strowman versus Jacob Fatu. And the women's title on the line, Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax. And like Jay Hood said, the contract signing between KO and Cody, which will be moderated by the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
What a great use of Braun Strowman.
Yes.
What a great, that is the match that is the thing I am looking forward to the most. Like, cause I mean, Braun, like he's over, he's won championships. He's obviously cool. Like just being there, potentially putting over Fatu, which is what he's going to do on Saturday night. And that is going to be meaty men slapping meat. That is going to be a fantastic match. It is, to me, that is the biggest reason to tune into Saturday night's main event is that match.
I love that Jacob Fatu took the microphone and now people heard what we heard in MLW, that this guy is powerful in the mic. It's what Joe Dombrowski told us, right? The voice of MLW, just the way he uses his voice and how scary he is. I mean, he's just, this is going to be fun to watch because now we see the ascension of Jacob Fatu. Now that Solo Sikoa walked to the back and had nothing to say about losing to Roman, now it's Jacob's turn to be the head of the table for 2.0.
I was worried that whole promo that he was going to say something that wouldn't have been seen on television.
I know.
He was towing that line. I'm like, uh-oh.
That's what makes it an exciting promo. Who knows what he's going to say next? We can't know if he doesn't.
I was heading for underneath the covers. I was like, oh, no. What's he going to say? He's going to get suspended. No.
Like, to take you behind the curtain, like on radio, when you get those callers that are fired up, you're hovering on that dump button. Like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I felt that way with Fatu.
Certainly did. And he was great. The crowd was with him. So I look forward to that matchup because that's going to be great for him. And again, now he's going to take that solo role. And at some point, he'll have his matchup against Roman at some point.
Rhea and Nia should be good, but is Nia and Tiffy, like, there's just no payoff there?
Not yet. Not yet.
Nia on Raw now?
Probably should be. Get out of Tiffy's way, right?
But Tiffy cashed in on her, so shouldn't she be upset about that?
Should be pissed, right?
Kind of seemed like she was for a little bit and maybe taking that frustration out on Rhea, I guess. Why is Shawn Michaels moderating this thing again?
He's from San Antonio.
Yep, that's why.
He's driving over.
Okay.
Yep. They save on airline travel.
Yeah, he just told him to drive over. Yeah. That's it.
There you go. Speaking of WWE, last week we learned about their relationship with TNA. Well, Dave Meltzer reporting people close to the situation believe this will eventually lead to WWE owning TNA. Apparently, they are trying to help TNA secure some international TV deals that would block AEW from getting similar deals overseas.
What I would say about that is that once we have seen plenty of examples under Vince that when he owns a company, he fumbles the talent. But now I think because Triple H understands the talent and watches the shows, he could understand, here's who needs to be in WWE, here's the ones that need to be in NXT, and then you can cut the rest. I think he can learn from Vince in that way. So owning TNA, not so sure about that, but I think that utilizing the talent this way is great for NXT. Those kids can learn from veterans. Ari booked Obafemi against Moose. I just think that that's awesome. But yeah, you got Frankie Kazarian, you got Eric Young, all these people that can work with the young talent in NXT. I think that's good for those kids.
Well, yeah, I don't, Genesis. Like, do they have a lot of talent that like Hunter would want?
NXT. I'm sorry, in TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And some, by the way, are already on their way. It looks like. Because Josh Alexander quit TNA on Genesis. Jordan Grace is already there. PCO, and it's, I know that's in the news and notes, decided he's just going to leave the cover. So there's some names there. Absolutely. The cover's not bare in TNA. Otherwise, there would not be a connection.
Sure.
No, but I don't see what owning TNA does for WWE.
The library.
That would just be like another – yeah, I guess if they want to sell the library, but like otherwise it's just – another developmental territory, basically, right?
And also the library is like, where do you put that stuff now? Like, if the Peacock deal is expiring in a year and you have the Netflix stuff, like, the library was the reason we heard Tony wanted Ring of Honor, which makes sense, but, like, where does it go?
If you don't do anything with the library, like, right. Yeah, that's...
No, I mean, there's value to having the library. Look, if they bought TNA, they would have their library. And of course, some of the superstars that's already in WWE has wrestled in TNA. And like, to me, owning that, there's a value to it, because if you sell it again, that's again a valuable piece. So sure. You have as many assets as possible when you own a company. I'm just looking through that roster. It's funny that the number of these guys, as we talk about AEW, TNA, the same thing. A lot of former WWE guys that are in TNA and women in TNA. So that's got to be something for Tom Hannafin, the play-by-play voice, like, oh, God, them again? Mustafa Ali, who they couldn't use, has been bouncing. He was in TNA for a while. Nick Nemeth, I think that's very interesting, that Nick Nemeth, who they couldn't do anything with at the end, lost the TNA championship, and now the relationship. It's very interesting.
Well, you mentioned PCO and people leaving TNA. At the GCW show on Saturday, he smashed his TNA title, the digital title. He cut a promo trashing TNA. Reports are that he's now done with TNA. He has said he has turned down AEW on 3 different occasions in the past.
Okay, so you're just going to work the independents then? Because as we just, there's a TNA-WWE connection. So WWE's not probably going to hire you after you went into business for yourself. If you're saying no to AEW.
57, so that seems to fit in with AEW right now.
Sorry, pal. I think you've reached the end of the road here, bud.
Yeah.
I mean, that act, that old Frankenstein act, that works in the indies.
You'll be fine. That is
true. It'll be fine. It's like, but that apparently that was a shoot then. This whole thing of destroying the championship, saying there's too many titles in wrestling, and he decided to do it on a GCW show. Weird that GCW and TNA had a show on the same night, by the way, on Sunday.
Well, but you could tell it was some sort of like shoot, because clearly he hadn't worked on that. Like, him trying to smash that thing with a sledgehammer and not getting it to be able to stay on the chair, I think was my favorite part of the whole thing. Like, he wants it to stay there, and it's just not cooperating. He doesn't know what to do.
He's a Frankenstein. He doesn't know any better.
The belt went into business for itself.
It's everybody was going into business for themselves.
I think it's very interesting times in wrestling. Very interesting.
Well, finally, news and notes. We talked about AEW Grand Slam Australia, Saturday, February 15th. It was originally announced for an 8:00 start on TNT. AEW is then reminded it's All-Star Saturday night. So instead, it'll air after All-Star Saturday night on a nearly 18-hour tape delay. As a reminder, this was originally thought to be a pay-per-view. It also was originally booked for a bigger venue. But hey, we get Kenny and Ospreay teaming up. You just have to wait to see it.
That's tough. I'm glad they're going to Australia because they have TV there and they want to be able to stretch out. And this is what wrestling is. Now you want to go international. That's fine. Got no problem with it. Just for them to have, they wanted to go in a stadium show, right? Originally a stadium. And now it's a smaller arena. This, until you get something hot, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be smaller arenas. And by the way, nothing wrong with that, but AEW's creatives got to get better. Because since CM Punk, there's nothing that's been able to strike hot for this company.
I'd make an argument for Tony, but it has obviously not hot enough to carry the entire company.
Tony Khan?
Storm? Timeless Tony and now Amnesia Tony. Yes. Like, she's the only thing that has consistently been able to hit.
But you know what I mean. Like, butts and seats.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely must see. That is for sure. Must see.
But why isn't this an opportunity to take advantage of the streaming and airing live, at, even if it is, 5 a.m. Eastern? Like, you wake up and watch it and make it a big event.
You know, this Max thing is kind of like a soft launch for a restaurant.
Okay.
Where WWE is like, we're on Netflix, January 6th, Netflix. And AEW is like, yeah, we're going to be on Max. And it's, but very quietly, though. It wasn't like special promos like, we're on Max. Can't wait to see on Max. It is, and that's the problem. It's like, it's there, but they're not bragging about it and really pushing it like WWE does with their Netflix. And that shows a difference right there.
The first one was, they said, like, the biggest streaming event ever or something along those lines, and then they just stopped.
Yeah, so what time is this show now? 7 a.m.
After
midnight, 1 a.m. Whenever we're done watching G Leaguers dunk the basketball.
Oh, come on! I am offended on behalf of Andre Jackson Jr. of the Milwaukee Bucks. He is a starter for the Milwaukee Bucks. That is the NBA Cup champion Milwaukee Bucks, mind you.
And I'm offended on behalf of Puzelis, our forward. With a chip on his shoulder, he's gonna be there.
Does he have a first name? Is he like Cher?
Matt.
Okay. I can see why you just went with the last name.
Yes, Matt Puzelis. I am Matus Puzelis. I am so disappointed that you would say that about him. We got nothing else going on in Chicago. We got Puzelis in the slam dunk competition because that's relevant today.
The rating will be good, I'm sure, for Grand Slam Australia. So
it will not.
No.
No.
Oh, I'm going to tell you this right now. The lead in is going to make it pretty similar to what a normal collision would be.
That's a great line there.
What?
That's because that tells a story. No, I'm not even not criticizing you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying that that's a great line because it's true that they're probably going to get about 300,000 people. That's what I just said.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, okay. So we're on the same page.
Great tag match, though. Kenny and Ospreay versus Takeshita and Fletcher. That'd be good.
Fletcher going to get cheered?
Yes.
Okay.
After Charles Barkley shits on it, no one will watch.
Right. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, we get Charles leading in. I'm not going to miss it. Well, I'm not going to miss the end of the, the three-point contest and see what Charles has to say leading into professional wrestling. That's what I'm there for. What did you guys have for your matches of the week?
Well, let me start with TNA Genesis because that was a show I watched on Sunday, the pay-per-view. TNA, I tell you what, they're going to have a great 2024. They should have a really good 2025 as well. You would think that Joe Hendry, I didn't appear. Do you think that Joe Hendry and Nick Nemeth was the best match? And it was not. I think everyone anticipated for a sold-out house in Dallas that he would win the championship, and he did. It's a good match. The best match on the card for me was Tessa Blanchard in her matchup against Jordynne Grace. Only problem is that Tessa Blanchard wanted to do the turnbuckle finish. She wanted to tear the turnbuckle so that way she can crash Grace's head in it. Yeah, Blanchard couldn't get the turnbuckle. Turnbuckle won, unfortunately. She couldn't get it off.
The inanimate objects are just undefeated this weekend.
I mean, just She kept trying, and she took her foot for balance, trying to get that turnbuckle. She couldn't do it. She tried a second turnbuckle. She tried a third turnbuckle. It would not come off. Other than that, it was a fine match. I also thought the I Quit match with Mike Santana against Josh Alexander was great. There's so much money in Santana as a single, and Josh Alexander said, I quit. He said, I quit, so he submitted in that match and also said, I'm also quitting TNA, and then left. So those are two really solid matches there, I thought. And I thought that TNA Genesis, especially with a sold-out crowd, it was great. It, you know, as usual, TNA delivered.
Did they miss the window, though, on Hendry? I feel like I don't see as much of his stuff on social anymore.
Yeah, I thought that he should have won in Detroit and because that was sold out, too, at Wayne State, and he didn't. So I just think that they're starting off fresh in 2025. It's good for TNA because if with him being the champion, that means he's going to be on NXT and he's going to be on TNA. TNA is going to be live this Thursday for the first time in 8 years, live, which is crazy. So I just think that with Hendry, at least it's a fresh start in 2025. They need him because wrestlers are leaving and more are coming in with these short contracts. So I'm glad they're doing it now because he should be the champion. People like that guy a lot.
I think he'll be in the Rumble.
Oh, yeah. So I was of the thinking he wasn't going to be in the Rumble because I was like you, bro. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff.
Right.
But now that he won the championship, I'm guessing they're going to try to heat him back up, and the Rumble's going to be the quickest way to do that.
He was also conveniently announced for WrestleCon in Indy this week.
Yeah, that's true. He called out Cena on Busted Open, by the way.
Yes.
He won Cena. It shocked me. I'm like, yeah. Great.
Can you imagine if WWE wasted one of the 36 days? I guess it's 35 now. 35 dates they have for Cena, and he makes a TNA appearance on Access.
That'd be something. It would be something. It'd be so 2025. If JBL could show up anywhere, some high school gym, anything could happen.
That is true. Matches I had. I love Daniels and Hangman on Collision. I think it's a perfect way to end the career of Christopher Daniels. It looks like he's done wrestling now.
I thought he was done wrestling before, they had kind of started this angle, but to kind of give him a send-off match, I think it was fantastic. And now it looks like Paige is stealing his finisher. So
yeah,
that's kind of fun.
I like that.
By the way, he's starting to heat up. Paige is really starting to heat up. I think that's good for AEW.
He beat a legend, so now let's start beating up some of his contemporaries.
Do you start turning him face, and is he the one that takes it off Mox?
I think he's becoming a baby face.
Yeah.
A character baby face, I think. And again, just weird. You know, you burn someone's home, and you become a baby face. Like, I just... so strange. I don't understand.
Yep. A couple others I had from SmackDown. I loved Ray versus KO and then Bayley versus Stratton. So basically the last hour of Friday night was...
Oh, I also enjoyed Motor City Machine Guns versus Los Garza. I thought that was pretty good from SmackDown. And then Hater versus Hart I had last night. Hater versus Hart was good.
Very good. It's a very good match, Gabe. I also wrote down Tippy Time against Bayley.
Yep.
That was on SmackDown?
That was SmackDown, yeah.
So I thought that was very good. So again, quality wrestling all around.
And another strong Penta performance.
It was a strong Penta performance. Yes, it was.
That's good old Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
Did he call him Butch?
Butch, Pete Dunne, whatever we want to call him. That guy.
Again, I'm curious to see, again, the direction that they're going to go. Are they just going to put him out there and have really good matches every week? Is that all they're going to do with Penta? Just kind of waste time until Ray can show up?
Pretty much.
I'm okay with that, I guess. Shout out to Rick, who always used to read Jay Hood's wrestling reports back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's great. But it was never in the newspaper. That was Black Brown. What was his name? Blackjack Brown. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was not me. That was someone else.
All right, good.
But you know what? Sam Hugh.
All right, yeah, well, you know what? You can still get more of Jonathan Hood. Sirius XM Busted Open Sunday.
I broke him.
Oh, we've got Saturday's night main event. We're getting ready for the Royal Rumble. Great time to be a wrestling fan. One thing for sure, you can always catch all of our stuff, youtube.com/@GoToKarmaWrestling. We'll be back next week on GKW.
Same here.